Happy Sunday. Good afternoon. My name is Jim DeJunis, and I'm reading to you today from the North Carolina Reading Service. And the name of our program is Reflections. On this day, we hope you have a blessed day. And for the next half hour, I'm going to be reading to you from the Holy Bible, as well as from a book called Jesus Calling, written by Sarah Young. And as we are always do, we start with prayer. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this glorious day, this day that you have made. This day, Lord, where we're going to listen to your word, and we hope that your word lives in our hearts, our minds, and our souls, that we may serve you this day and every day. Be with our families, be with our loved ones, be with North Carolina Reading Service and the fine volunteers that make programs like this possible. Lord, and especially, we thank you for our patrons, the folks that turn on the radio or listen to the computer to hear your word and your programming. We ask this all in Jesus' name. So Sarah Young tells us to come to me for rest and refreshment. The journey has been too much for you, and you are bone weary. Do not be ashamed of your exhaustion. Instead, see it as an opportunity for me to take charge of your life. Remember that I can fit into everything into a pattern for good, including the things you wish were different. Start with where you are is a good point, accepting that it is this where I intend you to be. You will get through today one step, one moment at a time. Your main responsibility is to remain attentive to me, letting me guide you through the many choices along the pathway. This sounds like an easy assignment, but it is not. Your desire to live in my presence goes against the grain of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Much of your weariness results from the constant battle against these opponents. However, you are on the path of my choosing, so do not give up. Hope in me, for you will again praise me for the help of my presence. A couple readings that support this. Number one is from Romans 8, verse 28. We are assured and know that in all things work together and are for the good of those who love God and are called according to his design and purpose. And then from Psalm 42:11. Why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Well, I want to thank you again for tuning in today. If you recall, last week we learned about the love and challenges of Jacob. We were in Genesis, and we were in chapters 29 through 32. And Isaac and Rebekah's son, Jacob, deceived Isaac and in order for Jacob to receive Isaac's blessing. And God was going to ordain this anyway. He had told Isaac and Rebekah this while Rebekah was pregnant. And we really see a dysfunctional family last week. And that gives me a little bit of comfort. I'm amazed to see that God continues to use fallen people, sinners, to carry out his work and to carry out his plan. That encourages me. I hope it encourages you. And then Jacob was sent to Paran Haran, where his mother was from, and he lived with her brother Laban for 20 years. And it was 20 years because he married two of his daughters. And that was a bit deceitful from Laban. Excuse me, Laban. I said Laban earlier. Laban, because Laban had agreed to for Jacob to serve him for 10 years for the marriage of his daughter Rebekah. Well, he didn't marry Rebekah. He married Leah, her older sister. And Laban again just deceived him, much like Jacob deceived Isaac, Esau, And so it is. So today we pick up with chapter 33 of Genesis. Jacob looked up, and there was Esau, coming with his 400 men. So he divided the children among Leah, Rachel, and the two maidservants. He put the maidservants and their children in front, Leah and her children next, and Rachel and Joseph in the rear. He himself went on ahead and bowed down to the ground 7 times as he approached his brother. But Esau ran to meet Jacob and embraced him. He threw his arms around his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Then Esau looked up and saw the women and children. "Who are these with you?" he asked. Jacob answered, "They are the children God has graciously given your servant." Then the maidservants and their children approached and bowed down. Next, Leah and her children came and bowed down. Last of all, Joseph and Rachel, and they too bowed down. Esau asked, "What do you mean by all these droves I met?" "To find favor in your eyes, my lord," he said. But Esau said, "I already have plenty, my brother. Keep what you have for yourself." "No, please," said Jacob, "I have found favor in your eyes. Accept this gift. If I have found favor in your eyes, accept this gift from me. For to see your face is like seeing the face of God, now that you have received me favorably. Please accept the present that was brought to you, for God has been gracious to me, and I have all I need." And because Jacob insisted, Esau accepted it. Then Esau said, "Let us be on our way. I'll accompany you." But Jacob said to him, "My lord knows that the children are tender, and that I must care for the ewes and cows that are nursing their young. If they are driven hard just one day, all the animals will die. So let my lord go on ahead of his servant, while I move along slowly at the pace of the droves before me, and that of the children, until I come to my lord in Seir." Esau said, "Then let me leave some of my men with you." "But why do that?" Jacob asked. "Just let me find favor in the eyes of my lord." So that day Esau started on his way back to Seir. Jacob, however, went to Succoth, where he built a place for himself and made shelters for his livestock. That is why the place is called Succoth. After Jacob came from Paddan Aram, he arrived safely at the city of Shechem in Canaan, and camped within sight of the city. For 100 pieces of silver he bought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, the plot of ground where he pitched his tent. There he set up an altar and called it El Eloi Israel. Chapter 34. Now Dinah, the daughter Leah had born to Jacob, went out to visit the women of the land. When Shechem, son of Hamor, the Hivite, the ruler of that area, saw her, he took her and violated her. His heart was drawn to Dinah, daughter of Jacob, and he loved the girl and spoke tenderly to her. And Shechem said to his father Hamor, "Give me this girl as my wife." When Jacob heard that his daughter Dinah had been defiled, his sons were in the fields with their livestock, so he kept quiet about it until they came home. Then Shechem's father Hamor went out to talk to Jacob. Now Jacob's sons had come in the fields as soon as they heard what had happened. They were filled with grief and fury because Shechem had done this disgraceful thing by lying with Jacob's daughter, a thing that should not be done. But Hamor said to them, "My son Shechem has his heart set on your daughter. Please give her to him as his wife. Intermarry with us. Give us your daughters and take our daughters for yourselves. You can settle among us. The land is open to you. Live in it, trade in it, and acquire property in it." Then Shechem said to Dinah's father and brothers, "Let me find favor in your eyes, and I will give you whatever you ask. Make the price for the bride, and the gift I am to bring as great as you like, and I'll pay whatever you ask me. Only give me the girl as my wife." Because their sister Dinah had been defiled, Jacob's sons replied deceitfully as they spoke to Shechem and his father Hamor. They said to them, "We can't do such a thing. We can't give our sister to a man who is not circumcised. That would be a disgrace to us. We will give our consent to you on one condition only, that you become like us by circumcising all your males. Then we will give you our daughters and take your daughters for ourselves. We'll settle among you and become one people with you. But if you will not agree to be circumcised, we will take our sister and go." Their proposal seemed good to Hamor and his son Shechem. The young man, who was the most honored of all his father's household, lost no time in doing what they said, because he was delighted with Jacob's daughter. So Hamor and his son Shechem went to the city, to the gate of the city, to speak to their fellow townsmen. "These men are friendly toward us," they said. "Let them live in our land and trade in it. The land has plenty of room for them. We can marry their daughters, and they can marry ours. But the men will consent to live with us one as one people, only on the condition that our males be circumcised, as they themselves are. Won't their livestock, their property, and all their other animals become ours? So let us give consent to them, and they will settle among us." All the men who went out of the city gate agreed with Hamor and his son Shechem, and every male in the city was circumcised. 3 days later, while all of them were still in pain, two of Jacob's sons, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brothers, took their swords and attacked the unsuspecting city, killing every male. They put Hamor and his son Shechem to the sword and took Dinah from Shechem's house and left. The sons of Jacob came upon the dead bodies and looted the city where their sister had been defiled. They seized their flocks and herds and donkeys and everything else of theirs in the city and out in the fields. They carried off all their wealth and all their women and children, taking as plunder everything in the houses. Then Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, "You have brought trouble on me by making me a stench to the Canaanites and the Perizzites, the people living in this land. We are a few in number, and if they join forces against me and attack me, I and my household will be destroyed." But they replied, Should he have treated our sister like a prostitute?" Chapter 35. Then God said to Jacob, "Go up to Bethel and settle there, and built an altar there to God who appeared to you when you were fleeing from your brother Esau." So Jacob said to his household and to all who were with him, "Get rid of the foreign gods you have with you, and purify yourselves and change your clothes. Then come, let us go to Bethel, where I will build an altar to God who answered me in the day of my distress and who has been with me wherever I have gone." So they gave Jacob all the foreign gods they had and the rings in their ears, and Jacob buried them under the oak at Shechem. Then they set out, and the terror of God fell upon the towns all around them, so that no one pursued them. Jacob and all the people came with him to Luz, that is Bethel, in the land of Canaan. There he built an altar, and he called the place El Bethel, because it was there that God had revealed himself to him when he was fleeing from his brother. Now Deborah, Rebekah's nurse, died and was buried under the oak below Bethel, so it was named Elon Bakuth. After Jacob returned to Padam Haran, Jacob appeared to him again and blessed him, and said to him, "Your name is Jacob, but you will no longer be called Jacob. Your name will be Israel." So he named him Israel. And God said to him, "I am God Almighty. Be fruitful and increase in number. A nation and a community of nations will come from you, and kings will come from your body. The land I gave to Abraham and Isaac I also give to you, and I will give you this land to your descendants after you." Then God went up from him at the place where he had talked with him. Jacob set up a stone pillar at the place where God had talked with him. He poured out a drink offering on it. He also poured oil on it. Jacob called the place where God had talked with him Bethel. Then they moved on from Bethel. While they were still some distance from Ephrath, Rachel began to give birth and had great difficulty. And as she was having great difficulty in childbirth, the midwife said to her, "Don't be afraid, for you have another son." As she breathed her last, for she was dying, she named her son Ben-Oni, but his father named him Benjamin. So Rachel died and was buried on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. Over her tomb Jacob set up a pillar, and to this day that pillar marks Rachel's tomb. Israel moved on again and pitched his tent beyond Migdal-Edar. While Israel was living in that region, Reuben went in and slept with his father's concubine, Bilhah, and Israel heard of it. Jacob had 12 sons, the sons of Leah: Reuben, the firstborn of Jacob, Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, and Zebulun. the sons of Rachel, Joseph and Benjamin, the sons of Rachel's maidservant, Bilhah, Dan and Naphtali, and the sons of Leah's maidservant, Zilpha, Gad and Asher. These were the sons of Jacob, who were born to him in Paddan Aram. Jacob came home to his father Isaac in Mamre, near Kiriath Araba, that is Hebron, where Abraham and Isaac had stayed. Isaac lived 180 years. Then he breathed his last and died and was gathered to his people, old and full of years. And his sons Esau and Jacob buried him. Chapter 36. This is an account of Esau. Esau took his wives from the women of Canaan, Adah, daughter of Elon the Hittite, and Oholibamah, daughter of Anah, and granddaughter of Zibeon the Hivite, also Basemath, daughter of Ishmael, and sister of Nebaioth. Adah bore Eliphaz to Esau, Basemath bore Reuel, and Oholibamah bore Jeush, Jalam, and Korah. These were the sons of Esau, who were born to him in Canaan. Esau took his wives and sons and daughters and all the members of his household, as well as his livestock and all other animals and all the goods that he had acquired in Canaan, and moved to a land some distance from his brother Jacob. Their possessions were too great for them to remain together, so the land where they were staying could not support them both because of their livestock. So Esau settled in the hill country of Seir. This is the account of Esau, the father of the Edomites, in the hill country of Seir. These are the names of Esau's sons: Eliphaz, the son of Esau's wife Adah, and Reuel, son of Esau's wife Basemath. The sons of Eliphaz: Teman, Omar, Zepho, Gatam, and Ginas. Esau's son Eliphaz also had a concubine named Timnah, who bore him Amalek. These were the grandsons of Esau's wife Adah. The sons of Reuel: Nahath, Zerah, Shema, Mizah. These were grandsons of Esau's wife Basemath. The sons of Esau's wife Oholibamah, daughter of Anah, and granddaughter of Zibeon, whom she bore Esau: Jeush, Jalam, and Korah. These were the chiefs among Esau's descendants, the sons of Eliphaz, the firstborn of Esau, chiefs Teman, Omar, Zepho, Kenaz, Korah, Gatam, and Mamalek. These were the chiefs' descendants from Eliphaz of Edom. They were the grandsons of Adah, the sons of Esau's son Reuel, chiefs Nahath, Zerah, Jamah, Mizah. These were the chiefs descended from Reuel in Edom. They were the grandsons of Esau's wife Basemath. The sons of Esau's wife Oholibamah, chiefs Jeush, Jalam, and Korah. These were the chiefs descended from Esau's wife Oholibamah, daughter of Anah. These were the sons of Esau, and these were his chiefs. These were the sons of Seir the Horite, who were living in the region: Lotan, Shobal, Zibeon, Zanah, Dishan, Izar, Dishan. These sons of Seir in Edom were Horite chiefs. The sons of Lotan, Hori, and Homan. Timnah was Lotan's sister. The sons of Shobal: Alvan, Manathoth, Ebal, Shepho, Onam. The sons of Zibeon: Ai, Aha. This is the Anah, Aha, who discovered the hot springs in the desert while he was grazing the donkeys with his father Zibeon. The children of Anah: Dishan and Oholibamah, daughter of Anah. The sons of Dishan: Hemdan, Ishban, Itharan, Keran. The sons of Esar: Bilan, Zavan, Akan. The sons of Dishan: Uz and Aran. And these were the Horite chiefs. These were the kings who reigned in Edom before the Israelite king reigned. Bela, son of Beor, became king of Edom. His city was named Dinabab. When Bela died, Jobab, son of Zuriah from Bozrah, succeeded him as king. When Jobab died, Husham from the land of the Temanites succeeded him as king. And when Husham died, Hadad, son of Bedad, who defeated Midian in the country of Moab, succeeded him as king. His city was named Avith. When Hadad died, Semlah from Masrekah succeeded him as king, and when Semela died, Shaul from Rehoboth on the river succeeded him as king. When Shuel died, Baalhanan, son of Akbiar, succeeded him as king. And when Baalhanan died of Akbar, Hadad succeeded him as king. These are the chiefs descended from Esau by name according to the clans and regions. Chapter 37. And in chapter 37, we start the story of Joseph. And Joseph is the most spoken about of in the book of Genesis. Again, we go back. His great-grandfather would have been Isaac. His father was, great-grandfather Abraham, grandfather Isaac, father Jacob, and then Joseph. And that's the lineage of Christ, those four. So Joseph is sold into slavery. That's the title of chapter 7. 37. Jacob lived in the land where his father had stayed, the land of Canaan. This is the account of Jacob. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending flocks with his brothers, the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and he brought their father a bad report about them. Now Israel loved Joseph more than any of his other sons, because he had been born to him in his old age, and he made a richly ornamented robe for him. When his brothers saw that their father loved him more than any of them, they hated him and could not speak a kind word to him. Joseph had a dream, and when he told it to his brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, "Listen to the dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field, when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood up, while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it." His brothers said to him, "Do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us?" And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he had said. Then he had another dream, and he told his brothers, "Listen," he said, "I had another dream, and this time the sun and the moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me." When he told his father as well as his father rebuked him and said, "What is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you?" His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Now his brothers had gone to graze their father's flocks near Shechem. And Israel said to Joseph, "As you know, your brothers are grazing the flocks near Shechem. Come, I'm going to send you to them." "Very well," Joseph replied. So he said to them, "Go and see if all is well with your brothers and with the flocks, and bring word back to me." Then he sent him off from the valley of Hebron. When Joseph arrived at Shechem, a man found him wandering around in the fields and asked him, "What are you looking for?" And he replied, "I'm looking for my brothers. Can you tell me where they are grazing their flocks?" "They have moved on from here," the man answered. "I heard them say, 'Let's go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them near Dothan. But they saw him in the distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. "Here comes that dreamer," they said to each other. "Come, let's kill him and throw him into one of the cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams." When Reuben heard this, and again, Reuben was the oldest son and the one who had slept with his father's concubine, he tried to rescue him from their hands. "Let's not take his life," he said. "Don't shed any blood. Throw him in the cistern here in the desert, but don't lay a hand on him." Reuben said this to rescue him from them and to take him back to his father. So Joseph came to his brothers, and they stripped him of his robe, their richly ornated robe that he was wearing. And they took him and threw him into the cistern. Now the cistern was empty. There was no water in it. As they sat down to eat their meal, they looked up and saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead. Their camels were loaded with spices, balm, and myrrh, and they were on their way to take them down to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers, "What will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay a hand on him. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood." His brothers agreed. So when the Midianite merchants came by, his brothers pulled Joseph up by the cistern and sold him for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites, who took him to Egypt. When Reuben returned to the cistern and saw that Joseph was not there, he tore his clothes. He went back to his brothers and said, "The boy isn't there. Where can I turn now?" Then they got Joseph's robe, slaughtered a goat, and dipped the robe in the blood. They took the ornamented robe back to their father and said, "We found this. Examine it to see if it's your son's robe." He recognized it, of course, and said, "It is my son's robe. Some ferocious animal has devoured him. Joseph was surely been torn to pieces." Then Jacob tore his clothes, put on a sackcloth, and mourned for his son for many days. All his sons and daughters came to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. "No," he said, "in mourning will I go down to the grave to my son." So his father wept for him. Meanwhile, the Midianites sold Joseph to Egypt to Potiphar, one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard. Chapter 38. At that time, Judah left his brothers and went down to stay with a man of Adullam named Hirah. There, Judah met the daughter of a Canaanite man named Shua. He married her and lay with her. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son, who was named Er. She conceived again and gave birth to a son and named him Onan. She gave birth to still another son and named him Shelah. It was Kezib that she gave birth to him. It was at Kezib that she gave birth to him. So Judah got a wife and Er. Judah got a wife for Er, his firstborn, and her name was Tamar. But Er, Judah's firstborn, was wicked in the Lord's sight, so the Lord put him to death. Then Judah said to Onan, "Lie with your brother's wife and fulfill your duty to her as a brother-in-law to produce offspring for your brother." But Onan knew that the offspring would not be his, so whenever he lay with his brother's wife, he spilled the semen on the ground to keep from producing offspring for his brother. What he did was wicked in the Lord's sight, so he put him to death also. Judah then said to his daughter-in-law Tamar, "Live as a widow in your father's house until my son Shelah grows up." For he thought, "He may too die just like his brothers." So Tamar went to live in her father's house. After a long time, Judah's wife, the daughter of Shua, died. When Judah had recovered from his grief, he went up to Timnah to the men who were shearing his sheep, and he and his friend Hira, the Adullamite, went with him. When Tamar was told, "Your father-in-law is on his way to Timnah to shear his sheep," she took off her widow's clothes, clothed herself in a veil, and disguised herself, and then sat down at the entrance of Eman, which is on the road to Timnah. For she saw that, though Shelah had now grown up, she had not been given him as his wife. When Judah saw her, he thought she was a prostitute, for she had covered her face, not realizing that she was the daughter-in-law. He went over to her by the roadside and said, "Come, lay down and sleep with me." "What would you give me to sleep with you?" she asked. "I'll send you a young goat from my flock," he said. And we're going to stop right there. We'll continue next week. We're running out of time for today's episode of Reflection. So please be sure to listen to us next weekend. I hope you've enjoyed the program. My name again is Jim DeJunis. I'm reading to you from the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Reflections is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Again, that's ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please give us a call at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you, and may God bless you and those you love this day and every day.